shocked. I didn't realize how expensive it was to miter edges of stone.
Mm-hmm.
So say I put $1,000 in the budget for it and it ended up being $5,500. I was shocked.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say to get quotes for every single little element like that, because it really does add up.
Welcome to the Renovating Australia podcast, where we'll take you on site with industry leaders, experts, and everyday people who've mastered DIY or are just giving it a go.
If you're starting a renovation, building a new house, or just looking for some inspo, we've got you covered.
Before we get started, everything we talk about on this podcast is general in nature and does not take into account your own personal situation. If you're looking to get advice, please seek the help of a licensed financial advisor or professional consultant.
So let's renovate Australia.
Today on the podcast, we speak to Emily and Dave from Howney House Reno. You will laugh at the start of this episode as I try to figure out how to pronounce Howney House, and we decided to keep that in as it really sets the tone for the fun and vibrant real-life Reno chat that this is. Aside from creating a truly Pinterest-worthy home, you may know Emily and Dave from their cute swimwear brand Pima and Palmer, or Em's beautiful leather brand El Zapato. These incredible entrepreneurs talk us through running businesses, navigating COVID, and getting everything done with a baby on the way and very tight timelines. Em and Dave are generous enough to share some top secret tips about their international suppliers, along with advice for creating that perfect outdoor area. We also chat through what it's like doing a renovation with a builder, especially if you like to be across all of the details. So let's get into it. Hey guys, and welcome back to Renovating Australia. We are on Zoom again today. It's our new favorite medium. And I am joined, as always, with my co-host, Katie Caudry. Hello, Katie.
Hi guys, welcome back.
Amazing. And we have some incredible guests with us today. We've been following them for quite a while. We have Emily and Dave from Horny House Reno. Oh, is that how you say it? Horny?
Hey, Joe. That's so funny because we have this debate.
I was just like, oh, God.
When I made it up, I wanted it to be, in my head, it was Howney. And he's like, no, Em, it's definitely Horny. And I'm like, oh, can we change it?
No. I kind of get where it's come from, though. Yeah. I'm going to suspect it's your last names combined, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. And
great name.
We got a baby out of it, so
I don't know.
So it works all around. Yeah. All right. So Horny House Reno, you are here with us today. Welcome, guys. So good to have you on board.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Amazing. Cool. Okay. So let's kick off with, who are you guys? Where are you based? Who makes up your family? And we've just covered how you came up with the name of that Instagram account. So tell us a little bit about you guys and your background.
Well, I'm 38. We live in Brisbane. I'm a sales manager in food service and also a part owner in a clothing business called Pina and Palmer that Em and I have together.
Huge fan, by the way.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And I was a travel agent for 9 years before having Harry. And I also have a shoes and accessory label with my best friend, and it's called El Zapato. We've got two little boys, Harry, who's 4, and Ollie, who's 3 months, and two dogs who are very lively, Ziggy and Yogi. So a German Shorthead Pointer and a Weimaraner.
Oh, bless.
Oh, wow.
So very small dogs too, then.
Yeah.
How good. So where did your renovation journey start? You know, how did you come into the world of renovations?
Almost 3 and a bit years ago. So we merged or blended into the one house, and then we were deciding on looking around to buy somewhere. We had always in the back of our minds had the idea of renovating, and we had a perfect opportunity to do it with the house that we're now in. Great suburb, great location, easy access. Our friends are all over this side of town. So it just sort of made sense to do it here. So we had a deck on the back of the house that was almost the same size footprint of the existing house.
Oh, wow.
It made sense that we had the land and had the space to be able to do that, and that made it an easier transition into renovating.
And it really, when we found out we were having Ollie during COVID, so that was the push that we needed, because we needed the extra space. So yeah, we had a short time frame. We needed to get it all done by too. So that was very interesting.
Oh, crazy times. I mean, yeah, with all the businesses too, and, you know, obviously welcoming Ollie, how did you guys sort of feel when you were like, oh my God, we need to get this renovation done? Did it kind of bring that timeline forward?
Yeah, so we really pushed to get it all done in time because the businesses were a bit slower during COVID. It allowed me to focus more on it. So Dave still had his full-time job. So I was kind of, I was there with our builder a lot of the time, probably in his face too much, probably hated me. But because we had a date we had to work towards, yeah, we really pushed for that.
Oh my gosh. And what was that time frame? Like, how quickly did you get this all done?
I think we were living with mum and dad for 4 months. So I think we got it pretty much done so we could move back in within 4 months.
Yeah, I think it started July and we finished 2 weeks. We'll move back in 2 weeks before Ollie was born. So,
oh my gosh, pressure.
Yeah.
And like trying to unpack when your feet are swollen. And
Oh, gosh.
Very, very hormonal this pregnancy. So, poor Dad. There's other nights where I would just at the dinner table just be like, just burst into tears. Like, I can't do this anymore. Someone else needs to do it.
Oh my God. I was going to say, I do that and I'm not even pregnant. That's just part of renovating.
Well, I mean, I am pregnant. That hasn't happened to me yet. So, yeah. Also, having a baby in winter, I feel like that might be on my side. But.
Yeah,
good.
Wait and see. Yeah, good for you. But that was the thing that we had to, because we were adhering to a certain time frame, we had to put that to builders that we were speaking to around appointing for the build. We had one in mind that we were leaning towards from go to wide, but we needed to get a couple of quotes from other ones. This is our first reno, so it was all a learning curve.
Yeah.
And it just had to work in with our time frame as well. And we found it amazing builder. We had to let some builders go because they couldn't work into the time frame, but the team that we ended up employing to build the house were second to none.
Yeah, amazing. And so if people can look on your Instagram and they can see the journey unfold and see everything that you guys have done, which is incredible, but let's try and paint a visual picture. What was it like before the reno and what sort of things have you added on?
So it was a 3-bedroom, a bathroom and an ensuite, a really small galley kitchen. We didn't have room in the house for a dining table.
I feel your pain.
So we just sat at our couch and went out to eat dinner.
Yep.
So that was what was normal for us. But our deck was huge. So as Dave said, it was pretty much the same size as the house.
Mm-hmm.
So where the deck was is now our kitchen, dining area, living room. And then we added on about 1.5 meters down the side as well. So we've got a laundry in there as well and butler's pantry. Did I say kitchen?
Nice.
And then we've built a deck on the other side and a pool.
And so I love the fact that this is your first renovation project because it's always great to see, you know, different perspectives from people that do it week in, week out. They love it. They know everything and they've learned all the mistakes along the way. But for someone coming in fresh, how did you find the process? Obviously finding a builder, you had tight timeframes to work with, but I guess like coming up with the designs and everything, how involved were you in all of those things?
So we had a draftsman that we kind of knew what we wanted to add on. And it was just a matter of putting it in the right places. So he was good at giving us a few ideas. We did change the plans a couple of times.
Our original plan is we pretty much changed every wall in the house.
Yeah.
Emily wanted a big walk-in row and we tried to accommodate that and a few other things. But then when we sat down and looked at it and we pretty much did the whole layout and design ourselves. We just got the draftman to oversee it and make a couple of little changes. But it didn't make sense at the end of the day to change the existing layout that we had in terms of bedrooms and bathrooms. So we kept 80% of the original house, which were the 3 bedrooms and a main bathroom, and then basically pushed all the new build out to the deck. And we were out here with tape measures and tape and marking things out and putting designs on paper and colouring in and doing all the fun bits and pieces to see if things would fit. And it's a house that fits us, which we're really, really happy with. Everything that we wanted and for our lifestyle and for the 2 kids, it's a house for us.
Yeah. And it does add up so quickly as well when you're trying to change all those walls. You're like, oh, yeah, it would be so good if we just push this out a little bit. And then you realize how much it costs to go, you know, 30 centimeters over. It's like, do I really need that extra space? So that's really cool. And I guess, how did you go finding all the information? I know, you know, when we did our first reno, that was probably the most overwhelming thing, is knowing where to start. Did your builder guide you through kind of the whole journey, or?
He was great. I also did the Three Birds renovation course, which was a huge help. And, you know, I went to the builder with a lot of things and he thought I was a bit crazy, like my rafters on the roof and my skylight. But it's turned out beautifully. I'm really glad.
I love the rafters, yeah. Was there any non-negotiables that you were sort of like, no, I have to have this in the house?
Our whole house, funnily enough, is built around a pizza oven.
Nice.
which we haven't actually used yet. It's
fine. Oh, yeah, haven't. Yeah.
It's finally, like, we've put a flue in and it cost us a fortune. The flue cost us pretty much the same as a pizza oven. But another issue. but, yeah, we look forward to having people over and making lots of pizzas.
Yes.
There's nothing really non-negotiable. We had our idea, but we were also working in with the builders who do this on a day-to-day basis to guide us in the same way. I sort of had input from the start in the, I guess, the design layout process. The work both work well for Em and myself. And then Em pretty much took the reins from there. So she was dealing with the trades every day, making sure budgets were adhered to as much as possible. But it was very much around timeline. So we had to stick to the timeline. And she was on site nearly every day because we packed up our whole house and moved out and just gave the builders free rein of everything. So I think that helped in the timeframe aspect of things as well.
Yeah.
Because we also did VJs throughout the house, so they needed every room to be clear. So it was just easier for us to move out. Yeah,
100%. We were just talking before we started recording about Nick and I being up in Doonan at the moment with Nick's parents. But I think our builder is so grateful that we're up here because I can't be on site every day. So I do every day. I'm like, what's happened? Can you send me some photos? And I think that drives him crazy, but at least it's controlled. You know, I'm not on site as much as I wish I was, though. Oh, my goodness. It's just how quickly everything happens as well. Like yours, especially because you had the time frames. But even as this is our first week of demo, it won't be when we're obviously publishing this one, but as we're recording, it's the first week of demo. And I'm like, oh my gosh, just the whole bottom of the house is gone in like 2 days.
Just when we turned up like maybe 2 hours after they had started on the first day and there was already so much that they had done, it's quite amazing.
Yeah. It's interesting because your first 4 weeks, everything flies and you think, oh my God, this house will be finished in 2 months.
Yeah.
The slow period in the middle where you're waiting on trades.
It just drags on.
And the back end, it flies again. And you finish in no time. I think it was important as well with Em being on site, being a rookie, is that builders can make mistakes as well. So we had a wall that was not in the right space for our kitchen, which took away space for our bench top that we had planned as well. And we got the tape measure out and said, oh, I don't think this is right. And then they changed the wall the next day and we're back on schedule. And because they were working to a time frame as well, like they're trying to work hard. And I think it was having that relationship with your builder, be transparent with them, communicate well, and things will run as smoothly as they can.
And also don't if there's something you need to change, don't wait a few days. Because I remember we spoke about we weren't having a walk-in robe. Then we said, okay, let's do it. And then Dave and I measured it out on, I think, a Saturday. And I turned up Monday morning and he had already put the walk-in in.
Oh, my God.
So, like, you really need to, like,
decision made.
If you have something in your head, you need to communicate it straight away because they work so fast.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I guess, and being part of the entire process and being there every day, did you have like a clear vision for the project, like in terms of the design elements? I know you said you had VJ walls put in, but I guess, where did you draw like your inspiration from?
I think doing the renovation course, you have to do like a mood board. So I also had a Pinterest, so I pinned a lot of things that I liked I save a lot of things on my Instagram, special house folder. So all those sort of things help.
Yeah. 100%. And for sure. Mood boards are my new favorite thing. I used to hate them because it was just like, I have so many different styles and everything that I love. But when you put them somewhere, you can see it actually does lean all into one, or it does really complement, even though you feel like it's 12 different designs that all goes together.
Yes.
How good. And so tight time frames. Often, you know, when you need to speed things up, you either need to get more people on or get different materials or anything. How did you go controlling and managing your budget throughout the process?
Look, I won't lie, it did definitely blow out a lot more.
You're not alone there. This seems to be the same response from everyone.
My advice, and if I was to do it again, would be, so certain things, like I had a spreadsheet, but certain things, say like the stonemason for the bench tops, I didn't realise how expensive it was to mitre edges of stone.
Mm-hmm.
So say I put $1,000 in the budget for it and it ended up being $5,500. I was shocked. So I would definitely say to get quotes for every single little element like that, because it really does add up.
Yeah. And I think even I was talking to our builder, just a casual chat, and it wasn't about our project. It was just talking about how costs and variances can add up. And he was telling me about this story of these people building a house, and they wanted to have like a brick feature wall in their house. And so when you go to a draftsman or a designer and you say, I want a brick feature wall, they're like, cool, no worries, they draw it in. But when it came to the engineering side, that one feature wall was going to cost them $70,000 for that feature wall because of the steel and the infrastructure that needed to go around it. And so he looked at the plan, he's like, guys, how set are you on this feature wall? And they're like, oh, we love it, we love it. And he's like, do you realize how much this one element is costing you?
$70,000, love it.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And the same with, you know, just mitered edges that you mentioned there. You know, that's such a small design element. And I think, you know, it does make a space. It looks beautiful. But, you know, you can have other options that aren't going to cost that much. And I think, you know, having a builder who is open with you and asking the right questions is so important with that as well.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
And if you want those sort of design features, you've got to somehow find places that you can draw back within your budget as well, so you can keep as close to that budget as possible. But you also need to have that contingency plan as well if it does go over. We'd set ourselves a budget, but this wasn't it wasn't a flip home for us. So it was our 5, 10, 15 year home. So we didn't mind on certain design features or spending a bit more on certain aspects of the home that we wanted. But then we cut back in other areas where we thought, well, we don't need to spend so much in the laundry or something like that.
One thing we did do, which I'm all about trying to get things Australian made if possible, but one place we did save, because my dad, he renovates houses or flips houses.
Super handy, yeah.
And he got flooring made in China, because engineered flooring is out of control. I think the few quotes that we got, it was going to be $30,000 for just new floorboards, engineered floors.
Wow.
Yeah. So we ended up getting it made in China and getting it shipped over, and it still worked out to be about half the price.
So it's about half.
Oh, my gosh.
So just like if you can save $15,000 on one element, that's a huge saving.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And they are beautiful floors. So are they still an engineered floor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, how good. Wow. My gosh, that process would be so interesting to go through.
I was going to say too, getting them in during that COVID time too, was there delays or was it?
And it, it was actually fine. I think it's worse now trying to get things in. Like our furniture we ordered in August and we only just got it last week.
Oh, God.
So for whatever reason, that took ages.
Yeah, yeah.
The flooring came on time. We were shocked.
Wow.
That's again, we knew we needed flooring, so we got samples and sent it to China, and then they had a bit of a process back with them as to matching the type of floor product color that we wanted. But as soon as we got that down, we basically ordered the floor. So we knew that was coming, because we knew that there was going to be a time delay on it arriving, but it arrived in plenty of time for us.
Yeah, amazing. I'd love to unpack that just a tiny bit more. So if you're open to sharing, like where did you find the supplier in China? Like how did you know who to contact and where to send it to?
Well, we were lucky because it was Dad's contact that he uses. He's very savvy like that.
Yeah.
He also gave us the bench. So we have Calcutta bench tops, which was left over, and he got that made in China too.
Amazing. So, oh, my gosh, your dad sounds so fascinating.
I mean, we can definitely give you the details of the fluorine people.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you're going to have a flood of people in your DMs now. Yeah. Who is this person? How do I find them? That is so cool. Love that.
Can we pause for a second and talk about the pool? I love your pool area. Was that always part of the original plans for the house, or did you add that on sort of at the end?
No, it was always part of.
Yeah, that was non-negotiable for us. We really wanted a pool. Like, having two young kids, we thought that that was a really important, and living in Queensland as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think because most of the design phase was focused around when COVID it was coming into play, no one knew how long we'd be locked down for as well. So we said, if we can make this place almost feel like a resort style deck pool area, then you're not missing going on holidays so much. So that was the whole idea. And it was adhering to budgets and stuff like that, if we could fit it in at the end.
Yeah.
But we made it work. We were looking at a plunge pool.
Yeah.
Located ones. But our access to the back of the house didn't allow that.
Couldn't get it.
And because we already had the deck that we were building in the rest of the kitchen dining room area, we built the pool up to the same height of that. So we got a above ground concrete pool built.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
And we definitely did get, you have to get, I find with pools, we got 3 or 4 quotes before we decided on someone, because the difference between some quotes were like 10 or 12 grand. So
I know, I've seen that a lot lately. And I don't know why, like it must be materials based or something.
Not sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely get a few quotes on that. And again, don't always go with the cheapest, but you know, you also need to work with someone that you like. So that's also important.
And did your builder recommend anyone for you, or you just sort of found them yourselves?
We looked online and found a couple that we got quotes from, but a lot of the trades that we went with or had spoken to were word of mouth through friends or people that have used someone previously.
I think that's
previously
the best way to find a trade. And they said that in the renovation course as well. Word of mouth is the best way to find trades.
Especially if you know people that have worked with them before and can vouch for them. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
So getting, I guess, talking about the process as a whole, was there like a favorite element to it that you absolutely loved?
Probably seeing it all come together.
Yeah.
Like things, big things like the kitchen or the bathroom, seeing them come together were pretty exciting.
It's funny, most stages are quite exciting because you go from a demo. Because we had a blank canvas at the back, which was just a deck with a flyover roof, seeing framing going up so you can get an idea of how things are fitting into the space, then your walls go up. So then it's boxed in and now it starts to feel like a house, but it's probably the first time when you walk through and there's the first coat of paint on. Yep. So it actually starts to really feel like a house. Mm. And then, you know, you're not too far away. But yeah, it's sort of hard to say because I'm from like a landscape background from many years ago, but it's like a piece of art at the end, because you start from nothing and then it's what you put into it and your ideas that is what comes out at the end.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. That makes so much sense, because your pool is incredible. And I'm like of course, you guys are naturally so great at design. Like, I love the entire project that you've done. But that garden and landscaping, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is just incredible. Like,
was that you,
level.
Dave?
You don't want to see it at the moment because it's just a work in progress. Oh. Yeah, that's my sort of passion is the outdoors and the landscape side, where Em was really focused on and hands on inside. I said, okay, well, I'm going to get to do it. But we still run ideas past each other and say, do you like this? Do you like this? Do you like this? And it changes. Like, we've got this coastally type beach housey feel inside, but outside will be more like a modern type garden.
I love that one. I have no idea what the name of it is, but that giant tree that you got, and it's so beautiful.
It's a pandanus palm.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
And it's something I've seen 100 times. I'm just like, what is this?
It's a very, very coastal.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. Let's talk about that, because I know getting established trees and even sourcing plants themselves, it's quite a journey, and there are so many different options. Can you walk us through how you source those things and where you went to look and all of that sort of stuff?
Just it's research, really. One of my inspirations is Mon Palmer and a few other landscapes.
We love Mon,
And what. So I'm, and it's the beauty of Pinterest and Instagram and those sort of things is just looking at pictures and finding how different things work and how it fits into your space. But we wanted a light, bright living dining area. So we've put a big glass window into the corner of our lounge room. And we didn't want to put a covering on that because we still wanted that light through. So that's where the pandanus has gone, because it's green, it's big, but it's also a feature tree. So it was sort of working around those sort of design ideas as well as to what plants we put in. I found that at a local nursery.
Yeah, it was just at the local nursery.
Nice.
And it's a new, a newer hybrid type that doesn't have the spikes on it, so it's safe for young kids. So it's looking around, identifying what you need. I've got plants from Oxley Nursery or Sunshine Coast Plants or anywhere that's got good quality stock. And during the pandemic, there was nothing around. So it was sort of what you get your hands onto. I had a bit of a tantrum one day because we needed some bigger established plants for behind the pool, because we knocked a lot of trees down for our build because we needed access. And now that we don't have that, we're looking straight onto neighbours. So we need something with height, something to fit that area. And just before we bought them, we paid for them and a storm had come through. So it ripped all the leaves off the cones. So they came and looked tattered and ugly, and said, I don't like them anymore. I don't want them. I'm going to rip them all out. And then we've had all this rain lately. So I pruned them back, and we had all this rain, and now they
look beautiful. They're
green, thriving.
Amazing. I know. I feel like landscaping, even for myself, like it's something that is such an afterthought. Like I feel like I'd focus so much on my house that I'd forget about those elements. Yep. But it really does bring your space together.
It really does. Yeah. And Dave is one of those men that love his lawn.
So you'd get along with my husband. So well.
A lot of money on lawn.
Yeah.
Let him have that, because I was like, I've got all my things inside the house.
Yeah.
So we have what sort of lawn is it?
It's the Sir Grange Zoysia.
Right. That sounds fancy by the name.
It's beautiful. It was well worth the money.
Yeah. Is that like a breed of buffalo grass or?
It's from that type. Buffalo is a thicker leaf.
Yeah.
Off leaf, where this is quite thin.
Nice.
But the beauty of it, it's heat tolerant and shade tolerant. And so
good. Yeah.
Full sun on one side of a house and shade, part shade on the other. So it works throughout our whole house. And once it's established, it uses less water, less fertilization. So it suits our family as well.
How good.
It's beautiful. It's soft and Harry loves to tackle on it.
That's the thing though, right? Like, you know, people like, turf will do that at some point. It's just always an afterthought, but it is such an important thing, especially when you have kids, I think, who are out there playing on it all the time.
Yeah.
You do want something that's soft. That was something for us. My husband was like, oh my God, we need to have like really good turf. And just this week, we've actually started knocking down all the trees and the fence at the side of our house, which now means there's absolutely no shade coming in over the grass. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah. The only issue now is Dave wants the $3,500 mower.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
I said that was a straight up no for us. I was like,
look, I haven't said those words
yet, but, Oh my gosh. How good. But I love that, Dave. That's a great tip and something to keep in mind is, you know, spending, and I regret saying this the second I do, because it means we will, but spending that little bit more on the grass. I've seen a few houses around us put in beautiful new turf and it looks amazing, but perhaps they haven't chosen or put thought into that variety. So in the spots with shade, you know, some of it's died, or a couple of weeks later, the other bit's burnt. And so it's been great for us to watch that, to know, oh gosh, okay, we need to make something, maybe spend that little bit extra to have something that will actually last and we're not ripping up in 3 weeks because it dies.
Yeah. And then we probably could have saved money in that area, but because of having a baby and I just didn't have the time to be able to go through. And I think we had about seven different grass types to start with. So we got an excavator in and we ripped it all out and then put soil down and then got something to lay it. So we could have saved money in that instance, but we just didn't have the time for that. So
how did your builders go with you, you know, doing that? We just talked about the quotes for the pool. How did they manage sort of you doing some of it and then them doing the other parts? Did you have like clear lines and definitions of what you were going to be responsible for or anything like that?
I think in his original quote, he did say what was included and what wasn't. And we talked about us doing the pool, but he did help us with certain elements of it, like things that I didn't know. So we definitely, you know, asked him lots of questions in regards to the pool, for example.
Yeah.
And he's so great. He was happy to help us.
Yeah.
But no, there was no butting heads or anything like that. He's very, very patient.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a great quality in a builder.
To have a patient builder.
Yeah, 100%. Cool. So I guess looking at the process again, what would you say the most challenging part of it was?
One of them is definitely adhering to budgets.
Yep.
When it's your house that you're going to live in for the next 10 or 15 years, it's hard to compromise on things that you have to have.
We were pretty good because we've got the same sort of vision or taste in houses and things like that, so it was pretty easy. We butted heads on a few things and then M1.
what were they?
Closets and
there's, you know,
storage and things like that, so
and like doors in certain places. Like Dave's very particular and I'm more like, oh yeah, we'll work around it. But the thing that I'm probably not much of a perfectionist.
That's a future M problem. When it's actually there and you don't like
it. Well, that actually is one of my sayings, future M's problem.
Yeah.
I love it.
How I live.
Oh, that's great. How good. And was there anything else, like aside from budget, that you found challenging or surprised you, I guess, even?
No, not really. Because our builder took on a lot of the trades and he had a team within his business that he organized plumbers and sparkies and all that sort of thing. So a lot of that side of the build was done through our builder.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing, for example, the cabinet maker. Yeah. So he did our kitchen, walk-in pantry, laundry, TV cabinets, cupboards, bathroom. So he did a lot for us. So I think one thing I found was that just because I spoke to him about something doesn't mean he's necessarily going to put it in the plan that he sends me. So don't just assume that he remembered what you said. Because a few times I had a look at the photos and stuff that he sent me and I was like, oh, yeah, that's fine, but I didn't actually go into enough detail and he missed a couple of things. And that's my fault because I didn't check it. So I think that's an important, go over everything with a fine tooth comb. Make sure you've got everything you need in there.
Yeah.
Is there still things that need to be done? Like what's left?
So blinds, we were going to put some shears in front of our bifold doors.
Mm-hmm.
Probably next summer we might put some fly screens in as well because I find the flies have been really bad this summer.
They actually have, hey.
I've been so bad.
There's something wrong, like I swear.
Yeah. I've been putting bowls of honey out to catch them.
Oh, have you? I've literally Googled it. There's like you can get CDs or you can put like water in a Ziploc bag and hang it up.
Next time I come to your house, Betty, there's just CDs all at the back of it.
Yeah. I just don't come here. They're everywhere.
Even things like our skylight and we've got a big long window as our splashback in our kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do love that look.
Yeah, but we've got a quote for the windows to be tinted.
Okay.
Because it gets really hot.
Yeah, of course.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so just little things like that you kind of need to live in the house to see it for yourself. But they're all things that we can do over time.
Yeah.
100%.
But in terms of the actual build, the build's finished.
Yep.
It's just landscaping and aesthetics now.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And so I guess to round it all off, for any first-time fellow renovators, I am one of them, what would be your biggest piece of advice?
Trust your gut. It's very easy to second guess and then go around in circles a million times and then come back to the same original decision that you originally you wanted to do. Have a clear plan.
Get lots of quotes.
You've got to trust. You've got to trust your trades, and that's why you need those three or four quotes to invite a builder over for a cup of tea and just sit down and talk to him. And you can get a feeling for someone and they're, if they're genuine. And we did that with a few of ours. So we probably could have gone with three out of the four builders and been happy with their work. But we always had one in mind that we were pretty much certain on going with anyway. And
communicate. Make sure you communicate everything.
You've got to communicate with your trades, but you've got to communicate with your partner as well.
That's a good tip.
Very good
tip. So you're on the same page at all times.
Yeah. And, I mean, this house is basically Em's baby. I mean, she did so much work in it because I was taken away for my own work. I worked full-time through COVID. So she should be very proud of what she's come up, the end product.
It's beautiful.
And she worked bloody hard to do it too while being pregnant. And
yeah, it's nice to see it all come together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been amazing getting to know you and your story. We'll pop everything in the show notes, but where can people find you if they want to follow along and look at your journey so far?
So Howney House, Reno.
Love it.
So H-A-W-N-E-Y House, Reno. Amazing. On Instagram, yeah.
Perfect. And as I said before, I'm sure you're going to get flooded with DMs about those floors and where to
for
find
sure.
them. They are beautiful. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks
Great.
So
Thanks
much.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode. If you liked it, don't forget to hit subscribe and share the episode with your reno friends.
If you're looking for like-minded people, come and join us in our private Facebook group. Or follow us on the gram at renovating_Australia. See you next time.